Lyle Sparky Kolchiski, a longtime former equipment manager of the Edmonton Oilers, joins us now. Spark, how are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you, Mr. Greger?
I am. I'm doing well. Now, where are you right now?
Right now, I am down in the inner city at our rink, McCauley Rink Project. We're on 96th Street. We're on 108th Avenue, and we're the biggest rink downtown until Rogers goes up.
Now, you oversee that rink or what?
I manage the rink, and we program it. Al Hamilton, he's also getting inducted to the Hall of Fame. He has this project going with Father Jim Holland of Sacred Heart Church down here. And we got some good sponsorship, and we put a program on for the inner city kids. We open any day we can.
Well, that's awesome, man. I love it. Take me back to the first time you met Joey Moss.
The first time I met Joe Moss. Well, leading into it, Wayne asked me if I got a job for Joe Moss. And I kind of looked at Wayne and, you know, what do you say to the greatest hockey player in the world? He said, yes, Wayne, just bring him down. We'll see what we can do. So the next day, camp opens and in comes Joe Moss. And at the time, I'm really ignorant to Down syndrome. I don't know nothing about Down syndrome. I don't know how to handle him. I don't know anything. And Wayne says, just whatever you want him to do, just tell him to do it. So they all go on the ice, and there's Joe standing there. I already showed him how to fill the water bottle, so he had the water bottles full. Now the guys are going on the ice for an hour and a half, and I got Joe standing there. So in those days, we had a towel service, so because we were out of our room. We were in the Agricom, I believe. And so I went, and I closed the door, and I took all the towels out of the bag, and I messed them all up, put them in a Safeway cart, opened the door, and said, Joe, come here. You got to do me a favor. You got to fold all these towels. And I showed him how to do it, and he sat there and he folded every towel. Comes back to me a couple hours later and goes, what do you want me to do now? And I go, have lunch, Joe. Joe's always big on having lunch. He'll have 3 or 4 lunches a day if you let him. So then Tim goes back on the ice. In those days, you went 2 shifts, and you went hard for 2 shifts. Joe comes back to me, your player's on ice. What do? I said, hang on a second, Joe. I go, I find all the towels again. I mess them all up. I said, Joe, you got to fold the towels. Sure enough, he sits there, he pulls all the towels. But later in the day, Ace Bailey, a good friend of ours, he was a scout with us. God love him, we lost him in 9/11. But so Ace has a big heart. He comes in and he feels sorry for Joe, and he helps Joe fold all the towels. And I got to go, Ace, get out of there. Just let him go. And so at the end of the day, Joe's all finished. He comes up to me and he looks at me and he goes, boy, you guys got a lot of towels. And then we moved into our main rink and we showed him how to vacuum. And he was great. He was everything Wayne said he'd be. See, Wayne was going with Dickie at the time and Joey was working in the bottle depot. And Joey just hated it. And it tore Wayne apart to see Joe to go to work, going somewhere he didn't want to go. So that's when we made the decision that Joe's going to go to work with him every day.
So he comes in, and then, you know, he really, you know, Dwayne Mandruzek was on telling me from an Eskimo side of thing what he meant to that organization.
I know. You make me follow that Mandruzek show. That's a hard one. He pitches a no-hitter, and you want me to come in here now and pitch for like that? It's not going to happen.
Well, you know what? Wayne, of course, had a great relationship with Joey, and I think because of that, you know, and I liked what you said, Sparky, how you didn't really know how to deal with Down syndrome people, and you know what? And I think a lot of us are, and ultimately, they just want to be treated the same. Right. And I found that over the years with Joe, that's, you know what, Joe didn't want to necessarily be looked upon as any different.
No. And that's what I mean. And he taught me how to be around Down syndrome people. He, you know, he had patience and not just me, but the whole team, Wayne Mandruzek, everyone who had patience with Joe. Because sometimes when he talks, you kind of got to key on a word and then build a sentence off it. What he really wants, and he gets frustrated and you get frustrated, but in the end we started talking Joeism. we got to understand what he was saying. It's just the more we were exposed to Joe, the more we understood what he was saying, the more we understood what he wanted to do, what he could do, what he couldn't do. And but he was the kind of guy that he'd try anything. You know, if he couldn't do it, he'd keep trying until he could finally do it.
What was the first thing that surprised you where you're like, wow, okay, I got to challenge him more here because he can do all this stuff?
He'd be big time. He'd, learn to clean the room up, you know, and everything. And then he'd take a break. You couldn't find him. A couple times I had to find his hiding spot where he was having a coffee and just chilling out. He's quite an amazing guy.
Oh, man, Druzak was joking how he used to fake injuries to guys and tell him his elbow was sore so that he would just sit on the bench and everybody else would vacuum for him.
Oh, geez. Oh, yeah. He had a few twisted ankles in his leg, but as soon as he told him, well, it's time for a cruise like that, sprained ankle went away pretty fast.
Now, Sparky, there's so many legends of Joey Moss. I remember, Stoll and Green telling a few stories. And I just remember the time vividly when Joe had, I'm pretty sure it was Matt Green, because as you know, Joe is a huge wrestling fan, right? So he had his belt and they would have the wrestling matches. And one time Matt Green got him when he wasn't ready. And he's like, well, that's WWE rules. You get tagged out anywhere. And Joe was livid that he got defeated.
Right off the wall. And then, one of the wrestlers, Benoit, what's his name?
Chris Benoit?
Yeah, he met and had dinner with Joe, so he gave Joe a replica belt, and he was very proud of that belt. And then when Matt Green pinned him, got the three count on him, took the belt, Joe was devastated.
Yeah,
it was the worst thing that could happen to him. So automatically, the next day, I called for a ring master. She says, Matt, you got to take a dive, kid. I can't live with Joe like this. He was sour all night and all morning until he finally won the belt back.
In Legends of Folklore, you always wonder, is it true that Joey counted out George?
Well, you know something? That's a dressing room story that'll stay in the dressing room.
All right. I always said that to me was the best part of the entire story when George told it. I was howling. He didn't share that part, but I always heard. So I was always curious about if that indeed was true or not.
That was quite the story down there.
Yeah.
Quite the story.
Now, tell me, just the importance of having a guy like Joey Moss around and how new players had to interact with him, Sparky. Did you ever have to tell a guy, hey, this is, you don't disrespect Joey?
No, you don't have to tell him. They see, one of the first things that happened to us, what you did was a tradition, is the first day of training camp, close the room, just players and the staff in there. All these young kids, wide-eyed, they're in the NHL, they're all sitting in the room with the vets and everything. Then all of a sudden, La Bamba comes on the stereo, and out comes Joe Moss, singing La Bamba, doing the moonwalk, doing the whole thing. The boys are clapping, the veterans and everything, the young guys are looking. And that's when the young guys realize, this guy is important to this team. I better respect him.
Oh, that La Bamba, that was his favorite song, wasn't it?
Now that, I tell you, the dance, some nights if you had him when he was hot, you'd get three or four spins out of him. And lately, though, Joe's been slowing down. He's 51 now. The La Bamba's getting a little less energetic, but it's still there. It still brings a smile to everyone's face.
Sparky, of course, the greatest thing about Joe is, his emotions, he wears them on his sleeve. He doesn't hide it. What you see is what you get. You talked about the wrestling belt losing that, but what did he take harder? With like the 06 loss or Gretz leaving?
He took the 06 loss pretty hard, but the Gretz trade was devastating to him. It was devastating. And at that time, he was down working with Dwayne in the Eskimo room.
Yeah.
And, Dwayne, tells him, Wayne got traded, and Joe was going, No, he didn't. And Wayne's going, Joey, Wayne got traded. And he's going, no, he didn't. And Dwayne goes, well, what do you mean? He says, if Wayne got traded, he'd tell me. So he wouldn't believe it, I guess, until Wayne told him.
Yeah, which I could totally understand, because he obviously looked to Wayne as like a big brother, even though they're pretty much the same age.
I know, and Wayne loved him dearly. Wayne had an aunt with Down syndrome. So Wayne was, he knew the whole situation. He knew how to treat Joe, how to converse with Joe. And like Dwayne said yesterday, Wayne can't spend enough time at the camp. At the camp, it's always, you know, you look around, you know, and there's Wayne and Joe, you know, where are we going tonight, you know. You know, that's what Wayne says to Joe. And then it's a pretty big thing. That's why Dwayne and Joe and Stevie and Kenny and Barry and I are all looking forward to, Barry's not coming, looking forward to being down in Vegas, spending some time with Wayne and seeing Joe a little more than I get to see him nowadays.
Lyle Sparky-Kulczyski, longtime equipment manager of the Order, joins us talking about Joey Moss going into the Alberta Sports Hall of Fame in the achievement category. Lyle, you mentioned you never really knew anyone with Down syndrome until you met Joey, but obviously your relationship with Joe, I know you're heavily involved with him with the Mentally Handicapped Society for many years in both Alberta and British Columbia.
How we got into the British Columbia part of it is Daryl Sutter had a son who had Down mm-hmm. syndrome. So Daryl, they had a cattle drive up in Merritt, B.C., and Daryl invited Marianne and Joe and myself to come along and be part of the cattle drive because Daryl wanted to show his kids what their brother was going to be like. And there are times Daryl would, say, can Joe come hang out with my kids for a while? So Joe would go the afternoon hang out with his other kids to give those kids an understanding of what their brother was going to grow up to be like. And I thought it was just fantastic how Daryl handled everything.
Well, it is great. Dwayne told me yesterday how important it was, you know, to have Joey around his family. It really taught his two young boys how to interact with Down syndrome, and more importantly, how to treat them with respect and how to treat everybody else and gain a lot of patience. What was the biggest thing, you know, Joey helped you with?
That's just it. Just patience. Like, look, it's going to come. He can do this. Don't get frustrated. He'll come around. So it's not just Joe. It's all Down syndrome people, all people with mental health problems. You got to have patience. You got to have understanding. And you just got to just wait them out and it'll come. And if it doesn't come, try again.
When I look at Joey Moss now, obviously he took over the record from you. He's the longest serving member of the Edmonton Oilers. And,
yeah,
he's at the age he is right now, you know, he's a marvel, really. A lot of Down syndrome people usually don't live that long, which is outstanding for Joe. It just when Joe eventually retires from the Oilers, how are you going to compare that to the other guys? Because it's really on, obviously he's not a player, but it's on a much different, maybe a more deeper emotional level.
It will be, like you've been saying and JMO's been saying is, guys will make that long walk to the other side of the rink just to see Joe, or they'll send Joe down. And every player that's had him that's gone through the Oilers and now is on the other teams, or even guys like Billy Guerin and Doug Weight come back, they all got to see Joe. And it's just, he touched them and he helped them become better people by just being around him and seeing what he can do. Like you say, in the morning, you're having a bad day, and he comes in and, you know, he gives you that wink and going, hey, we'll be out of here early today. You know, just something that off the wall, eh? And, he just has that charisma about him. And that's what helped me out. Like, I thought I'm having a bad day, and then along comes Joe, and I'm thinking, oh, Spark, suck it up. Life isn't that bad, you know?
Yeah, definitely. He's going to have quite the speech, I'm guessing, on May 29th.
I can imagine that. When the one at his birthday party, he had about four or five speeches that night. His 50th birthday party lasted a month. we were going to send it into the Guinness Book of World Records along his birthday on. Every day he was planning and having a birthday party. And then finally, the grand finale was when Ryan Smith hired some wrestlers and put a ring in his backyard and had a live wrestling match for Joey.
No way.
Yeah, and then the final thing, the bad guy's laying there, and the good guy's knocked out, so they needed someone to come in and cover the bad guy so the fight would be over. And the boys had dressed Joe up in his wrestling garb, his mask and his shorts and stuff. Joe comes flying in, and I thought Joe's just going to lay on the guy. Well, he bounces off the rope, jumps on the wrestler, and gives him the three count. It was unbelievable. Ryan Smith did Ryan Smith was the first star for the birthday parties. He just had an excellent thing. The whole team was there, hooting, hollering, and it was just a great night.
Oh, that sounds like a great night, and great for Joe to go off the ropes and body slam. That's outstanding.
Well, he's always got something going, Joe. We're on a few road trips. In 2003, he won the seventh man trophy, which is voted on by the NHL alumni, the seventh man. So Kevin asked me if I can take him to Florida. That's where the All-Star game was, during the All-Star break. If I wouldn't mind taking him to Florida, I said, well, I'll twist my arm, Kevin. I'll take him down to Florida for 4 or 5 days. So he was great in Florida. NHL alumni, the All-Stars, they were all, shaking his hand, congratulating him. So one night we were at a banquet, and I had to go do something. So I left Joe with one of the trainers. I come back. There's Joe sitting in the middle of all the Budweiser girls getting his picture taken and signing autographs.
Hey, Joe was never stupid. A smart guy.
No. I tell you, he's a chick magnet. Everywhere he goes, girls just love him. And they want to say hi to him, and he's that kind of guy. He just rubs off on you.
Sparky, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing the stories. We'll let you get back to running the rink. As always, it's great running into you. We'll talk to you again soon.
We'll see you along the way. Have a good time, Gregor.